Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf Yud Zayin. We're holding the fifth line from the top of the Amid where the Gemara begins. Omamar Yochel Afilu Chola. Now, what is this referring to? You recall on the bottom of Tes Zayin Amid Beis, the final line, the Gemara told us that if you have a boireach, an eved that fled, Chayv L'Hashlem, when he is caught or when he returns, he has to finish off his 6 years. Like it says in the Pasuk, Sheshanam Yavoid. So then the Gemara asks at the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Yochel Afilu Chola. What happens if you have a regular Eved, not an Eved Boreach? A regular Eved, what happens if Chas V'Sholom he is sick? What happens then? Does he have to be Mashlim? Tamaloyma Vashviyas Yetze. No, no. When the 7th year comes, he's out. And the Gemara is Medayik here on the 5th line, Umamar, Yochel Afilu Chola. I would think that even a person who is chas v'sholom sick, the eved is sick, that he has to be mashlim and make up for his sick days. Tamalei mavashviyas yaitze, and the Gemara is medayik afilu chola kol sheish. Even if he was chas v'sholom a chola for all 6 years, since the Gemara doesn't distinguish, it sounds like even if he's sick the entire 6 years, is that possible that he doesn't have to be mashlim? For Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Chola Sholosh, the Ovad Sholosh, if he was sick for 3 years, but he worked for 3 years, Einechayv L'Hashlem, then he does not have to make up for his sick days. Chola Kol Sheish, Chayv L'Hashlem, if he was sick for the entire 6 years, then he is required to be Mashlem. Oh, so we see that if you're Chola Kol Sheish, Chayv L'Hashlem. But we were medayik from the brice of yesterday that even if he was sick for all 6 years, ainu chayev lahashlim. So make up your mind. Omer of sheshes, boisa masa machat. There that we said that even if he's sick for the entire 6 years, he does not have to make up for his sick days, is when he did at least something. He did a maisa kal or kala. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi says on third line, Bo'isa Masa Machat, Bechol Yoy. Whilst he was sick, he was never sick. However, he didn't just sit on his hands. He did something. Shumasa Kal. He did a Masa Machat. He did some sewing. Doesn't require him to run around. Doesn't require him to pick up heavy weights. Doesn't require him to be a slave in the traditional sense. His slavery was that he sat in his seat or he lay on his bed. And he went and did some knitting and some sewing. On that, Ketoni Liel, Kol Sheish, Einechayv L'Hashlem, Do Ovid Le Malach, he did something. Masa Machat, says Rashi, Toifer, he was sewing. So in other words, when we learned yesterday on the top line, that even if the person is sick for a full 6 years, he doesn't have to be Mashlim, that is because he was productive during those 6 years. He wasn't productive in a big sense, with a capital P, didn't do the heavy duty work that you would expect a slave to do, but at least he did something all those 6 years. Presumably it brought in some income, no major shakes, but epis. Then even all 6 years. However, if he wasn't able to do anything, then as long as he worked for 3 years straight, in other words, a full 3 years, I don't mean straight, full 3 years out of the 6 years, then he does not have to be mashlim. However, the braisa finished off. If he didn't do anything for 6 years, he has to be mashlim. And now the Gemara asks an obvious question. Hagufa kasha. I have an internal inconsistency, a steer between the reisha and the seifa. Amris, in the reisha he said, cholish holoish, viyavad cholish, ein chayv lahashlim. As long as he worked for 3 years, he doesn't have to be mashlim. But what happens if, in fact, he was sick for 4 years? Sounds like Chayv L'Hashlem. It's only because he had a 3 year period that he didn't work. Then, Eina Chayv. Mashma did a 4 year period, Chayv L'Hashlem. Eina Seifa, let's see the Seifa. Chola Kol Sheshiv was sick for the entire 6 years, Chayv L'Hashlem. That's because it was the entire 6 years. Hadala, but if he was only sick for 4 years, so you have a steer between the Reisha and the Seifa. Everything more hachik amar. The key is that it wasn't Roiv that he was sick. If he was sick 3 years, that's only 50%. He does not have to be mashlim. Doesn't have to make up for the sick days. But once you get into Roiv, Hachi Ka'amar, Chole Dalid, if he was sick for 4 years, presumably 4 years lav dafki means even 3 years and a day, or 3.5 years, or whatever. Nasa kimisha chole kol sheish. Then it's as if he was chole all six. The famous rule of rubai kikulai. V'chayv lahashem, then he would have to be mashlim. So as long as it's up to, and including 3 years, we're fine. Once you go beyond the 3 years, then you gotta be mashlim for days, for the 6 days. Okay, Tana Rabban. Over the last couple of days, we've learned the famous rule of Hanukkah. Hanukkah means that after a slave served you diligently, then when he leaves, you have to leave him with a farewell package of provisions. For those of you that have the Torah or HaShalem, it's Ois Gimel, Hanik Tanik Loi. You have to give him Hanukkah. Hanukkah means give him provisions. Mitzoincha umigoncha miyikvecha, from your tzoin, your goyin, your yekev, ashebirachcha, ashemalekecha, titen loy. And now the Gemara is going to tell us, what is the minimum amount of Hanukkah you have to give to your slave? Tana Rabban, kama manikin loy, how much? Says Rameir, chomesh sloyim mikol min umin, 5 sloyim from every one of these 3 minim. We have tzoin, goyin, and yekev. Okay, you have to give 5 from each one. Since it's 3 times 5, Shein Chomesh Esrei Sloim, Divrei Meir, 15 altogether. The Gemara is going to ask in a moment, can't I do the arithmetic on my own? Rameir, did you have to tell me it's 15? I know if you have 5. And you multiply it by 3, it comes out to 15. Rabbi Yehuda Oimesh Sloishim, you have to give Hanukkah worth 30 Sloim. Kishloishim Shel Eved. The woman kishloishim shel eved. Rashi tells us, what happens if somebody had a dangerous shor, and that shor came and was noigeach, chas v'sholem, it gored my eved, and the eved died? What is the amount he has to pay? Says the Torah, shloishim shekel. You have to pay 30 shekel. And this 30 is considered to be a knas, in the sense that I don't care how much the Eved would have been worth on the marketplace. If it would have been worth 5 shkolim, or he would have been worth 500 shkolim, the Torah gives a set rate of 30 shekel. So even though that has absolutely nothing to do with Ha'anakah, but just like over there, an Eved has a value of 30, here the Hanukkah you have to give 30. And the Gemara, of course, is going to ask shortly, what does one thing have to do with the other? We'll see that in a moment. Reb Shimon Omer Chamishim Kachamishim Shebi Erechin. You all know the parish of Erechin. It says that if a person says Erech Ploini Olai, then it depends on who that Ploini is. Number one, is it a man or is it a woman? And number two, what are the ages? Are we talking about a baby, or we're talking about a person who's 100 years old, or anybody in between? So, as you all know, the Torah has a whole bunch, it has a set rate that for girl, kach v'kach, and for a boy, kach v'kach. The maximum that we find in the Torah is a person who's between the age of 20 and 60, that if you say about him, Erech Ploni Olai, you have to pay chamishim shekel, 50. So Reb Shimon says, when you give Hanukkah, you have to give the maximum sheba erechim, which is 50 shekel. We'll see now where Remeir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon are coming from with their figures. Amamah. Chomish sloim yikol minu min, sheim chamesh esri sloim divir Remeir. Frank Yomar of Remeir, min yonah slash minah. Remeir is teaching us arithmetic. Don't we know that 3 times 5 is 15? Ha kamashvel en miftzehudle miftzele mihai min yonah. V'yibotzele michad minah, v'tofile michad minah, les lon bah. Says Yomar, what Remeir is telling us is, the ikar is the total, not the component numbers. Meaning that even if you gave, for instance, from tzoin 10 shkolim, and from goyren and yekev together 5 shkolim, that also works. Because the important thing is that it's 15 altogether. It doesn't have to be 5 plus 5 plus 5. the total amount has to equal 15, no matter how you add it up. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Hakamashma. Miftzuhudu and miftzulei mehai min yana. Don't give less than the total of 15. Vibatzulei mechad mina. However, if from one of the three mins, three minim, you give a little bit less, from the tzoyin, you didn't give five, you only gave three. Vetavlei mechad mina. And from the goyden, instead of giving five, he gave seven. So the three and the seven is 10. And then another five is Yekiv, is 15. Leslama, that's also good, as long as it adds up to 15. So that's why Ramey had to say, total of 15, so we know this halach. Frank, in my time in Ramey, where does Ramey come from? That you multiply these three minim by five? Says, you want Yalef, Reikam, Reikam, Mibachar. We have a Xerish of when it comes to the case of the Eved, it says in the Pasuk, V'chise shalchenu, loise shalchenu reikam. Don't send him away empty-handed. You have to go and give him hanoka. And the pasuk continues. Loise shalchenu reikam, hanik tanik loy, mitoincha umigoncha umiikvecha. Aha. Okay. So we have a pasuk over here, reikam. Then I have another pasuk of reikam. This other pasuk of reikam is, if you have the Torah or HaSholem, it's ois beis. That's Bechor HaBen. So the word Reikam figures in this pasuk right after the mitzvah of Bechor HaBen. Now we all know that Pinyon HaBen is five shkalim. Okay, so therefore the word Reikam now has in it a sense of five shkalim. And here it also says, don't send them away empty-handed. So I learn Reikam, Reikam, just like over there, it's five. Because opinion of Ben, here too, it's five. Why do you multiply three times five? Maybe the entire Hanukkah has to be five sloim. And so therefore, take five, divide it in by three, and each one of them you're going to have to go and give 1 2/5. Is that right? Yeah, 1 2/5. 3 times 1 is 3. 3 times 2/5 is 6/5. No, we're off a little bit in the arithmetic. But the point is, go and give 5 for the 3 minim. Or like Rameyer said a moment ago, it doesn't have to add up, or it doesn't have to be divided exactly equally. You can go and give 2 from one, 1 from the other, another 2 from the other, so you'll have 5 altogether. So Freik the Gemara, Vehim Bechamish Lemikul. If the Torah would say Hanik Tanik Loi Migonchem Yikvecha V'Loise Shalchenu Reikam, I would agree with you. You learn Reikam, Reikam, five. However, Hashad Chsev Reikam Bereisha. Even before you get to the words Hanik Tanik, it says V'Chisa Shalchenu Meimach V'Loise Shalchenu Reikam. Oh, and then it continues on Hanik Tanik Loi. So the Hanik Tanik is already under the cloud, if you will, under the dominion of this Reikam. And since Reikam means five, Hanik Tanik Loi, from the five, give Tzoyincha, Goyincha, Yikvech, and therefore you have 3 times 5. This is the Gemara. Shadi Reikam HaTzoyin, Reikam HaGoyin, Reikam HaYekev, and therefore you have the 3 times 5. Okay, beautiful. Freik Gemara, V'nelef Reikam Reikam Me'oilas Re'iyah. Now what does Gemara mean by that? Now the pasuk that we quoted before, the Petach Amor Tifte Beseh, it's a very interesting pasuk. It's interesting in the sense that it comes after an earlier pasuk that tells you that there's a din of oyle regalim, that you have to be oyle regel 3 times a year. And the pasuk concludes, v'layero ponai reikam, when you come up to Eretz Yisrael, you cannot just go into the Beis Hamikdash and wave your hand and say, Rabbeisa, I'm here. But rather, you have to go and bring a korban oylas re'iyah, and besides that, you also have to bring Shalmei Chagiga. Now, where do you learn the din of Oilas Re'iyah from? From this pasuk, Bleiro Fanai Reikam. So even though the pasuk itself talks about Pinyan Aben and Pinyan Petach Hamor, but it's in the inyan of the Oilas Re'iyah, and the principal din that you learn from Bleiro Fanai Reikam is that when you come to the Oilas Re'iyah, bring a carbon. Now, what is the amount that you pay for the carbon? In fact, Min HaTorah, there is no specified amount. Rashi says that midrabanan, It's a cheshbon of two kesef. Two kesef means two mo'ah. You remember that we had earlier in the week, or last week, how many mo'ah did we have in a dinner? A dinner had in it altogether 6 mo'ah. So you're talking about 2 mo'ah. 2 mo'ah is a third of a dinner. And a dinner, in turn, is a quarter of a sela, of a shekel. So 2 mo'ah is a relatively insignificant amount. So Frek Timor, if that's the case, why do you say Lon Rekam Rekam? From the halacha of Pinyin Aben. Why don't I say Rekam Rekam from the parasha of Oydas Re'iyah, where Oydas Re'iyah, the minimal amount, is minatoyda nothing. Midrabanan, it's 2 mo'ah, which is far less than the 5 shekel. Omikra. That's why the pasuk ends off. Hani tanik loy mitzoycha migoncha mikvecha. Asher birachacho Hashem lekecha titan loy. That Asher birachacho tells you that if you have the choice between the 2 mo'ah and between the 5 shkolim, hit it up to the 5 shkolim because of the bracha of the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Rabbi Yehuda, as you recall, said, Shloishim Shloishim Shel Eved. My time, Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda get this from? After all, Shloishim Shel Eved has nothing to do with Hanukkah. So, to Yalef, Nesina, Nesina, May Eved. We learn the din of Nesina, Nesina. What means Nesina, Nesina? In our Pasik, Hanik Tanik Loi, Mitzoncha, Migoncha, Mikvecha, Ashibiracha, Hashem Alekecha, Titan Loi. Titan Loi is a lesson, of course, of Nesina. Now, when you have the din of an Eved is a totally different pasuk, of course, but there it says in the pasuk, Kesef Shloishim Shkolim Yitain La Doinav. Yitain. Ah, so here it says Yitain, here it says Titain. Nesina, Nesina. Just like over there, it's Shloishim Shekel. It says in the pasuk, Kesef Shloishim Shkolim Yitain La Doinav. Vashor Yisokev. So you got to go and pay Shloishim Shkolim Nesina. And here it says Nesina, Nesina, Nesina. Malhan Shloishim Afkan Shloishim. Freyti Mor V'Nelef Nesina, Nesina Me Erchin. Why don't you learn from Erchin? Malhalon Chamishim Afkan Chamishim. Just like we said according to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is the one that says you learn Chamishim Me Erchin. And here it says Nesina. Now where does it say Nesina over there? So Rashi brings, it says in the Pasuk, that when you have the case of the Erchin, and Erchin also Titan Lai, you got to go and give the amount of the Erchin. So therefore, let's learn Nesina Nesina from the case of Erchin. And for the Gemara, Chodin Tefasta Meruba, Loi Tefasta. If you have a choice between 30 and 50, you do 30 and not 50. Tefasta Mua Tefasta. You don't chop the bigger one, you chop the smaller one. The Oid. Eben Me'eved Avalei L'Melef, says Rabbi Yehuda, if I have a choice, which Nesina I want to go and learn, I'd rather learn from Eved, because after all, we're talking about Eved. And Eved is getting Hanukkah. How much Hanukkah? I have Nesina from Eved. If Chas V'Shalom and Eved is gored by a shor, then you have to go and pay 30. Okay, so I learn Nesina. Nesina from Eved, you pay 30. As well as, why would I learn it from Erechon? Tfasim Rublei Tfasim, that's 50. This is 30. Tfasta mua tfasta. Reb Shimon oimer chamishim ka chamishim shebe erchen. 50. My time to Reb Shimon. Goma nesina nesina mei erchen. Ma'al alon chamishim afkan chamishim. Just like over there is 50. It's also 50. Freiki mora vi eima. Okay, I have now the pasuk by erchen. V'chishav lei hakoines michsas o erkecha ad shnasa yoivel. V'nosan es erkecha b'yoyim ahu kodesh l'ashem. So you have the nosan es, v'nosan es erkecha. It's a lashon of nesina. You're saying you have to pay Erchin, Nesina, Nesina. Okay? Granted, Nesina, Nesina from Erchin. But my question is, in Erchin there are so many different rates, as we said at the outset. If it's a girl, it's cheaper. A boy is more expensive. And as you go up in age, until the age of 20, the rates go up. Once you hit 60, the rates start going down. So there are different rates in the Torah. So why do you go and take the highest rate? Take the lowest rate. Bein bakashe b'erchin. Zokti Yimor, I'll tell you why. Asher b'racha Hashem l'kecha k'siv. Like Yimor said before, you have asher b'rachacha to tell you that you take the larger amount. Frank Yimor b'nei l'v'nesin n'sin n'mi Eved. Why don't we learn n'sin n'sin n'mi Eved? And it's better to learn from Eved. Number one, Malon Shloshim. No, stop. We should learn from Eved, Malon Shloshim, Afkan Shloshim. Just like by Eved, it's 30. Here too, it's 30. And I'll tell you two good reasons. Choda, the Tvasta Merubloi Tvasta. You shouldn't go and chop on 50 if you only have to pay 30. And number two, V'oit Eved Me'eved Abel L'Meilef. Shouldn't we learn one Eved from the other Eved? The din of Hanukkah by an Eved from the din of the Shor Amud that kills an Eved? Says Yimor, you're right. We don't learn it from the Sina. The Sina, Reb Shimon, Micha, Micha, Gomar. He has a different Gzeir Shava of Micha, Micha. Where's Micha, Micha? Rashi says when it comes to an Eved that sold himself, V'chiyomuch achicha imach v'nimkar lach. V'chiyomuch achicha lach v'nimkar lach. See, chiyomuch means that he got nebuch poor, and he had to sell himself as an Eved. And we got the parish of Erechin, it says, V'yimach who may erkecha. What happens if the person that said Erech Pliny a lie cannot afford to pay the full Erechin? V'yimach who may erkecha. And then you have to go to the Kohen and the Shoifet and they decide how much you have to go and give. Anyway, so it says Micha, Micha. So why is that better than Nesina, Nesina? Says Rashi, it's not that it's better. When it comes to a Gzeir Shava, Ein Adam Don Gzeir Shava Me'atzmoi. You can't make up your own Gzeir Shavas. If you'd make up your own Gzeir Shava, then the whole Torah would be one chulent. How many times did it say in the Torah, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimar? At least, I don't know, maybe 100 times, maybe more. So, learn up every single mitzvah in the Torah. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, don't eat chazer. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, don't do avodah zarah. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, keep Shabbos. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, don't wear shatnez. I mean, everything is Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimar. So say, they're all the same. Of course, they're not all the same. Yeah, but Vayidaber, Vayidaber Hashem, Hashem, Leimar, Leimar, you have a Gzeir Shabbat. Ein Adam Don Gzeir Shabbat Me'atzmo, you have to have a Messiah. And what the Gemara is telling us is, Reb Shimon, we incorrectly assumed, learned a Messiah, or had a Messiah of Nesina, Nesina, but that's not true. He had a Messiah of Micha, Micha. And that's why I learned the din of an Eved, of Hanukkah, from the din of Erchim. Now before we continue on, there's a little bit of a tension in the Gemara, which we didn't focus on, and that is, on the one hand, the Gemara told us, tefasta merub loy tefasta, tefasta mu tefasta. If you have a choice between a larger number and a smaller number, you take the smaller number. Yet, the Gemara twice told us that that's not necessarily the case. L'mosha, when we asked, by reikam, reikam, should I rather give 5 siloim like a bechor, or should I go and give just 2 ma'a like by an oiles re'ia? And the Gemara said, oh, Hashem b'rach Hashem lekecha, give the larger amount. What about tefasta merub loy tefasta? Hashem b'rach Hashem lekecha. Similarly, we just had down below here, the Gemara asked the Gabi Erechin, should you go and give 50 for Erechin, or give a smaller amount? I think the smallest amount in the trade is 2 or 3, shkolim altogether. No, Hashem b'rach Hashem lekecha, go to the highest amount. Didn't you just say tefasta merub loy tefasta? Anyway, that's not my kasha, that's a kasha of Toises down below. And Toises differentiates in the Lishonis in the Torah to be able to explain why sometimes we say Tefasta Mu'at Tefasta, and sometimes we say Hashem Birachacho Hashem Elikech. But getting back to our Gemara now, Jokti Gemara, where the first wide line down below, Bishlim the Rameir Haina Dechsiv Tzoin Goyren V'yekev. Remember, according to Rameir, we use Tzoyin Goyren V'yekev as the 3 numbers to multiply times 5. Why 5? Rekem, Rekem from Bechor. 5 times 3 is 15. So Tzoyin had to say these 3. Otherwise they wouldn't multiply 3 times 5. Ela Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon. Since Reb Yehuda learns 30-30 from Eved. Reb Shimon learns 50-50 from Erechim. Hai Tzoyin Goyren V'yekev Lomali. What do you need Tzoyin Goyren V'yekev? It should just simply say, Hanik Tanik Loi. What do you need the tzoyin? Goyren v'yekev. So tomorrow, comes to tell you the b'risim. I would think that the only things that you can use for your farewell present is tzoyin, goyren, and yekev. Tzoyin, of course, means sheep. Goyren is tvua. Yekev is wine. Ah, so those perhaps are the only minim. Menal Rav is called over. What happens if I want to go and give him something else? What happens if he likes to eat chicken? Or fish? Or eggs? How do you know that Rav is called over? Talmud says the pasuk Shebracha Hashem Alekecha, give him Asher Berachecha from any of the brachas that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has given you. If Kodesh Baruch Hu has given you the bracha that you have chicken, you have fish, you have eggs, whatever, give it as food, no problem. So then what's the point of these three? Let it just simply say, Hanik Tanik Loi, Asher Berachecha. Everyone, Loi Malach, Matzoim Gurim V'yekim, Yuchodim, Sheyeshnen B'chlal Bracha, Afkol Sheyeshnen B'chlal Bracha. It's got to be those types of things which are B'chlal Bracha. Now what does it mean, B'chlal Bracha? If you look at the final Rashi on this Amud, B'chlal Bracha, Tzoim, Paravarava, by definition, if you have sheep, it produces and reproduces. In other words, it has children, it has offspring. The same thing when you're talking about the Goyden V'yekev, when they were growing, they produced nice produce. In one case, the tavua, the grain, in the other case, grapes, which eventually became grape juice or wine. So that's all Bechlal Bracha. So what does that come to exclude? Yotzu Ksofim, Divrei Reb Shimon, comes to exclude kesef, if you take coins, and you put the coins in the ground, and then you irrigate it, and you put fertilizer, in all likelihood, the coins are not going to grow. So that's what the Gemara means in Napachal Bracha. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, Yotzu Prodes, it comes to exclude mules. As you know, mules do not have offspring. And therefore, they are not Bechlal Bracha because they don't reproduce, they're not part of a rough. That's what it comes to exclude. Now, L'chayre, both of these exclusions are correct. Why does Reb Shimon exclude Ksofim and Reb Lezer ben Yaakov exclude mules? Says Imar, Reb Shimon, Prodes Meshapcham B'Gufayu. Even mules also grow. Think in terms of Tzvua that you've planted. Baruch Hashem, it started off as seeds and it grows and grows and grows. So even though the mules do not reproduce, but they grow. At some point, they're only 300 pounds, and then fatten them up, and they'll become 500 pounds or 600 pounds. And presumably, then they'll be worth more. So therefore, there is a growth factor when you're talking about mules. That's why I only accept Ksofim. For Blezim and Yaakov, Ksofim Ovibu Iska, just the opposite. Ksofim, that is something that is very productive, in the sense that you invest the kesef, and you can hopefully make a lot of money. So don't tell me it's not b'chlal bracha. That's how businesses run with money. And therefore, money is b'chlal bracha. Anyway, bottom line is, that's why the Torah tells us, Tzoyin Goyim V'yekev, to go and build in two exclusions. The truth of the matter is, you can go and give anything. Presumably, although the Gemara says kol davar, presumably you mean food items. That's what it sounds like. Although the Gemara excludes produce and money, which are not food items. However, at least money you can go and buy food. Produce you can go and schlep food. Whatever. But Asher Berachecha is mar b'kol davar. So it's more tzricha. Why do I have to have the tzoyin going to the yekid? Tzricha, because the Rechman is tzoyin. If we just say tzoyin, have him in a balechayim, in gidu l'karka loy. If we just say tzoyincha, I would think you have to go and give live animals, or maybe live fowl. It's got to be something which is alive. Go and give him tzoyin. Perhaps you can go and give chickens, and perhaps you can go and give even fish. However, gidu l'karka loy. Gidu l'karka, that's not balechayim. That's how you think you cannot. Because we're going to have a minig do the karka. In Balechayim Loi, it's got to be Davki do the karka, things that grow from the ground, but not animals or fish or fowl or whatever that doesn't grow from the ground, because when a tzoin comes to tell you tzoin. So I therefore need tzoin and I need goyren. Tzoin to tell you the Balechayim, the goyren to go and tell you the Gedulei Karka, but Yekev Lamali, what do I need Yekev for? To my Loimar. Lemar lemuti ksafim, lemar lemuti prats. Like we said before, if you would just say the two categories of the tzoyin and the garden, I might think that includes everything. Hashem beracha, Hashem alekecha, everything. So the Yekev says, no, you have to make an exclusion. I exclude either ksafim or prados, either like Reb Shimon or like Reb Lezer and Yaakov. Fine. Tanu Rabbanan. It says in the pasuk, Hashem berachu, Hashem alekecha, yochel nizbarach bayis begloloi manikim loy. Loy nizbarach bayis begloloi, ein manikim loy. The way the Gemara is interpreting now Hashem berachu is slightly different than the way we touched it until now. Until we touched it until now was that the present of the Hanukkah that you give the Eved, mitzoyncha megarncha meyikvecha, Hashem berachu. That's among the brachas that Hashem has given you, and therefore share your blessings with the Eved. And the sharing of the blessings is even beyond, it doesn't have to be tzoyin gern v'yekiv. You can go and give him other things as well, as long as it's not prodois, as long as it's not kisafim, according to each man the Omer, respectively. But now the Gemara saying Hashem beracha is, you know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, lo yisish alchenu reikam. You know why? Because this Eved brought in a bracha into your home. Until you have this Eved, the amount of household income and the household expense was X. Now that the Eved has come in, the income, Baruch Hashem, is X plus, and the liabilities or the overhead has gone down, and therefore he's brought a bracha into the home. Zokti Yomara. If he was taka good Eved, and he was tichtig, he was creative, he was talented, and he did good work, good job, then you have to go and give hanukkah. What happens, in fact, if this slave was just a liability, not an asset? He just added to the overhead. You got to go and feed this guy. And this slave was lazy, and he slept half of the day. And when he actually did work, he did a sloppy job. He had to repeat the work afterward. In other words, he was not a bracha. When it's baruch vayis begloloi, I would think ein manikin loy. Don't give hanukkah. Tamaloi may know hanik tanik. A double loshen. Mikol mokim in all cases and all situations. Even if he was a lousy eved, mitzvah of hanukkah. Pray tomorrow came ma tamaloi ma shebe rachecha. Hakol lefi bracha ten loy. What means hakol lefi bracha? Says Rashi. Second line. Now on to the third line. Im nizbarach habayis b'shviloi harbe toisif ala nokoi. If in fact he really made a major difference in the prosperity of this household, then give him more. Vimlav, if he didn't, if it wasn't a major bracha, in fact, even if it was a liability, al tifchis min akosif. You still got to give him the minimum. The minimum being either the 15, the 30, or the 50, like we said. So the Tanakhama basically tells us you always have to give Hanukkah, the minimums we had on the Amid Aleph, if he was a good Eved, dependable, diligent, brought bracha into your home, give him more. Asher Berach. Rabbi Loz Ben Azari says, no! Rabbi Loz Ben Azari, Oymer Dvarim Kichsovan, read the words as it says in the text, Nizborach Bayis Begloloi Manikim Loi. If he was a good Eved and he did a good job, Nizborach Bayis, give him Hanukkah. Nizborach Bayis Begloloi. If in fact no bracha came, in fact the house was just as sloppy and just as dirty, and all the chores were not done properly, just like before he arrived on the scene, he didn't bring in a bracha at all. There is no din of anukkah. You do not have to give him a nickel. And for that matter, you don't have to give him a pickle. You don't have to give him anything. Aha. Oy bazoy im kei matalim hanik tanik. For tanik tanik is a double lashon, which we said before, mikol makoyim. Says Reb Loz Ben Azaria, dibratoy kolosh b'nei yodam. Torah just spoke like people speak. Of course, this is not your regular teretz. This is always a court of last resort. If I have no other drasha, I have no mesoira of a kal v'chomer, of a gzeira shava, of a hekish, or whatever, then dibbetari kalosh b'nei yodam, and do not learn any halachas from the double lashon. So we have machloikis taka tanakam, because when it's aria, is do you always have to give hanukkah, even when the slave was lousy? Or you only give hanukkah when he was productive and he brought a bracha into the home.
Who determines this? The other guy saying, I'm not going to pay him, he really has to get a lot, but he is...
The owner has to determine that. and he has to make sure that he does what the Torah requires. Just like when a person, if he buys a new garment and he doesn't take care that it shouldn't have shatness, so who's responsible? He's responsible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Yodeya Machshavos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows if this Eved Johnny brought in a big bracha to the home, go and pay him. If he didn't, then you don't have to pay him. But be fair, be equitable, be honest, and do what you got to do. Okay?
But, we know that certain people are Tzar of Zion or Zinji and whatever, and they're going to say, this guy didn't do that. And consequently, there's scope for abuse here. But hopefully.
No question about it. No question about it. And there's unfortunately room for abuse in virtually every halacha. A person is supposed to not allowed to go and eat chaylev. So he has chaylev and he says, that's really shuman. Who's going to know the difference? Only the one above knows the difference. You and I cannot tell the difference between shuman and chaylev. So, unfortunately, or he buys non-kosher meat, non-kosher chicken, and he says, it's kosher. You'll never know the difference. Only a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows. Here too. No way of my knowing or your knowing whether you brought the brach in or didn't bring the brach in. I don't think that the Eved can go and take his Odin to Bezdin and say, well, I'll bring you proof. I have two Eidim that I brought a brach into the house. I mean, that these are things that are very subjective. So, what happens b'misas ha'odoin if and when the person who bought the Eved passes away? What happens to the Eved? Does the Eved continue working for the Yarshim, or does the Eved go scot-free? Now, we had a little bit of discussion about this already previously. You'll recall the Mishnah itself only referred to Mises Odin once, back on Yudalid Amud Beis. This was the final two words in the Mishnah, and it said that an Eved Nirtza is koines atzmai b'yoivel u'b'misas ha'odoin. So an Eved Ivri who's Nirtza gets his ear bored. You bore a hole in the ear. What's the din? He goes free when the Odoin passes away. And of course, the obvious Mashmoris is that if he was not an Eved Nirtza, just a regular Eved, even though the Odoin passed away, he has to be Mashlim his 6 years, Sheish Shanim Yavid. So we have a difference between a regular Eved and an Eved Nirtza. What about Om Ivriya? We had the Om Ivriya also goes out the Misas Odoin. And you remember Rish Lakish extended it even to Misas Av, but the Gemara said Tiyufta, Rish Lakish Tiyufta. So Om Ivriya goes out the Misas Odoin, and an Eved Nirtza goes out the Misas Odoin. Question is, how do you know that? Where does that come from? Where does it say that in the Torah? So Gemara is going to go through various psukim, legabin Eved Ivri. We're also going to go and distinguish between which Yorshim are we talking about. Are we talking about the Ben, the son, or even talking about, for instance, a daughter or an ach or a brother? And you'll see. Tonerba. Eved Ivri Oyved Es HaBen Ve'ena Oyved Es HaBas. If the Odin passed away, leaving over a son, the Eved Ivri has to go and continue working for the son. However, if there is no son, there's only daughters, and Oyved Es HaBas, he does not have to work for the daughter. Om Ivriya, Ein Oyved Es Lo Yisabem Lo Yisabas. She goes out in Mises Odoin, she goes out L'Cheyres. Hanirza, like we had in the Mishnah, Vanim Kaloyvi Kechavim, Ein Oyved Lo Yisabem Lo Yisabas. Nirza goes totally free in Mises Odoin, and the same thing is in Nim Kaloyvi Kechavim, also goes free when the Goy passes away. And you remember the Gemara said it's got to be talking about where we have dominion over the Goyim, that they are subject to Torah law. Because if he's not subject to Torah law, he'll say, okay, that's what it says in the Torah, but I got my own rules and regulations, and I'm going to hold, and the children of the Goy are going to continue holding on to the Eved. But assuming that they are subject to Torah law, then a nirtza and a nimka legoi, any oyved leisabem leisabas, misas ha'odin, they go out free. Now the Gemara is going to bring mekoyrois, the source, for each one of these halach. Omamar. Eved ivri oyved leisabem and oyved leisabas. Minu an emili, how do I know the Torah Rabbanon? Vavod chosheish shonim. It says, vavod cha. He's going to go and serve you. L'cha v'loy li yoyresh. Only you and not the Yorshim. Now, when we see the word Yorshim, automatically we think in our minds, any heir. But you'll see in a moment, the Gemara is going to distinguish between a ben and anyone other than the ben. And the word Yorish over here is being used as any heir other than the son. So the Pasuk says, Avad Cheshei Shanim, you continue, an Eved that is sold, he works for you for 6 years, for Lo Yorish, but not for the daughter, and not for the brother of the Odin. If the Odin passes away, and there's only daughters, or there are only brothers, he does not work for the brothers or for the daughters. Maybe I should say that he doesn't work for the son of the Odin. Here it doesn't say, it says, which means he should work under all circumstances 6 years. Harry Ben Amor. It comes to tell you that even if the Odin passes away, he, the Eved, has to continue working for 6 full years if there is a son. I, the Pasuk said, Loyli Yorish means any Yorshim other than the son. So what I have over here is a Riboy and a Miut. The Riboy is Sheishanim Yavoid, he has to work 6 years, come heaven or high water. He always has to work 6 years, regardless if the Odin is alive or he has passed away. The other pasuk of Avodcha Sheishanim is Avodcha, Lecha, only to the Odin and not to Yorishim. So now, what do I do with the fact that one pasuk says, everybody, you got to work for everyone, and the other pasuk says, only for you, Havastira. So the Gemara said, Avodcha means to exclude all the Yorishim besides the son. Sheishanim Yavid comes to include the son. Maybe we should reverse it. Pray to Mamara Isla Rabbi Seben Lohitzi Sa'ach. Maybe I should go and say the other way around. That Vavodcha Sheishanim L'cha V'loi L'ben. Don't work for the son. And Sheishanim Yavoid, you should work for other Yarshim, like daughters or like brothers. Mamara Isla Rabbi Seben Lohitzi Sa'ach. Says, I'll tell you why. Mamara Bani Seben Shekin Kom Tachas Aviv L'yuada U'l'stei Achuzah. I find in the Torah that a ben is kom tachas ov means he goes and fills his father's shoes, both for purposes of yud. Yud is, you recall, by an amivriya, that after you buy an amivriya, either the odin or his son should perform yud and marry the amivriya, but doesn't say that the odin can go and give her away to anybody else. He doesn't say, well, I got a brother who's looking for a shidduch. This Amivri is perfect. No. It's got to be the father or the son, not the brother. Number two, the Gabi Steachuza. The Steachuza is a little bit more complicated, if you will. What's the Dimai Steachuza? Steachuza, of course, is a field which is an ancestral property that you can trace it back all the way to Yeshua ben Nun. What's the Dimai Steachuza? If you are Makdish Steachuza, and when you makdish, that means now it belongs to the gizbar in the base of Mikdash. So the gizbar says, I don't need a field, I could use the money. He has to go and sell it. So who can he sell it to? The original owner can say, I'll take it back. And if he does that, he can pay it back. He has to pay 50 shekel kesef for each base so'ah. It's a base, not so'ah. Base koir. Zera chaymis oirim b'chamishim shekel kosev, a base core. Base core is 30 sa. What's the din? Any size of a field that's a base core, you pay chamishim shekel kosev, and you get it back, and the original owner has to add a chaymish. What happens if the original owner says, I'm not interested, I don't need this field. That's why I was makdishin in the first place. I want it. You gizbar, do whatever you want. And then the gizbar sells it to somebody else. The pasuk is, if the gizbar sold it to somebody else, lo yigal oid, it does not come back to the original owner. It goes to the kohen. Ah, so if you weren't You didn't redeem your own stay achuza that you were matish. Somebody else bought it. You lose it forever. That's the typical halach. V'imlo yigal es asadav, v'imlo yigal es asadav, v'imoch es asadav li'ish acher. The Gemara in Masechtas Erchin darshins li'ish acher v'loy leben. What does that mean? What happens if, in fact, the original owner did not redeem it, but the Gizbar, instead of selling it to the outside world, he sold it to the son of the original owner? What happens then? When it comes the Oivul year, it does not go out to the Kohanim. It stays in the family. Ah, so there too, the Gemara says by the Stei Achuza, that this only applies if you sell it to the Ben. Then it stays in the family, and it does not go to the Kohanim in Yovel year. On the other hand, if you sold it to anybody else, including an Ach or a Bas, then it would not go back to the family in the Yovel year. Zokti Yimara, so what do I see? There are two times that the Ben is come Tachas Aviv, one for Yud, one for Stei Achuza. Ah, so that's the reason why, in our case, when the Odin passed away, I have a Shaila, to whom should I give, what happens to this Eved? Ah, since I see that Ben has stronger koichos than the, has more rights than that of the Ach, if there's a Ben, the Ben retains ownership of the Eved. If there is no Ben, there's only an Ach, he does not get ownership of the Eved. Freitimar Adarab, Mar Bani Yisashikin, Kom Tachas Ochiv Li Yibum, L'choira, Ach should come before Ben, because if there's a Shail of Yibam Rachman Litzlan, who performs the Yibam? The Ach, not the Ben. And therefore, Ach is closer to the original Odoin than the Ben. So we should go and say that if the Odoin passes away, just like if he left no children, his wife goes to the brother, maybe then the Eved should also go to the brother. Why do you say it goes to the son? After all, Marben Yisa Achshikin, Kom Tachas Ochem Liyibam. Ever the Gemara, if you think about it for 1 second, you realize that that is not a convincing raya. Why not? Klum Yesh Yibam El Mokim She'en Ben. Ha Yesh Ben Ein Yibam. The whole Yibam is based on that there are no banim. If there would be a child, there wouldn't be an Ach that would be Miyabim. So I see once again, even in the parish of Yibam, the Koyach, the rights of the Ben, Ben's being more of filling the shoes of the father, are greater than that of the brother. Because if there's a Ben, there's no Ach, there's no Yibam. Therefore, even this argument that said, that the Ach is Kom Tachas Ochel and Yibam, is Taka Emes, but it's still second or secondary to a father having children. If he has children, then there is no din of Yibam. Zok the Gemara, Hayesh Ben, Klum Yeshim El Mokim Shein Ben, Hayesh Ben, and Yibam. Fine. So bottom line, the Gemara is telling us is, I had two rayas that Ben is stronger than Ach, one from Yud and one from Stei Achuza. I had one raya that Ach is stronger than Ben, that's from Yibam. And now the Gemara has successfully undermined that one case of the Ach being stronger than the Ben by Yibam, by showing that, in fact, even over there, the Ben is stronger than the Ach. But for Eitimara, what do you need that for? Eletayma di ikaha, ha pircha. The only reason why you were able to defeat this argument, to show that Ben is stronger than Ach, because you say, even by Yibam, the Ach only comes into play. If there are no banim, halav hachi, but without that, I might say Ach adiv, that Ach is taka stronger than Ben. But typically, the Ach atarati b'ach chodah. Why don't you just simply say it's two against one? What's two against one? The Ben is Kom Tachas Ovi for two purposes. Number one for Yud, and number two for Stei Achuza. And the one is that the Ach is Kom Tachas Ochiv by Yibam. So two against one, two work, two wins. Why do I have to undermine the case of the Yibam? After the Gemara, Stei Achuza Nami Mehai Birchu Dekanafkelei Litana Klom Yeshivim El Mokim She'en Ben. What does all this mean? So Rashi tells us that if you were to look up Masechtas Erechim, where the Gemara talks about over there, that normally it says in the Torah, if you are makdish astei achuza, and you're not poide the stei achuza, the pasuk says v'bloy yigales asada. If the baalim do not redeem their own sada, v'imorches asada li ish acher lo yigo el oid. If it's sold to an ish acher, and the Gemara darshins li ish acher v'loy leben, and the same Gemara says, maybe I should go and say li ish acher. Who says that when the ben is the one that buys it, it doesn't go to the kahanim? Maybe if the ach is the one that buys it, it doesn't go to the kahanim. It just says umachas is suddenly ish acher, and we're saying acher v'loy, and then fill in the blank. We filled in the blank v'loy the ben. Maybe you should fill in the blank v'loy the ach. And if that's the case, then you're going to have two against one in the other direction. We'll have yud. Ben kom tachas aviv. And then you'll have that ach is kom tachas achiv, number one for yibum, and number two for stei achuza. After all, the same way that you're darshaning that the mochas is suddenly ish acher, acher v'loy le ben, go and darshan the acher v'loy le ach. Says the Gemara Masechtas Erechin, you have a good point. However, even yibum itself, it's not really ach before ben, because klum yesh yibum. The only time that you have an ach come and have a role in the case of yibum, if there are no children. But if there are children, then again the ben comes before the ach. So that's how I knew to take the stei achuza and to put it on the chart on the side of the ben. Otherwise, I might have thought you take stei achuza and put it on the side of the ach. That's why you have to undermine the raya from yibum by ach. Because otherwise the Achuza could go either way. So it's not a question of two against one. It's one against one. Yud clearly is Ben. Yibum is clearly Ach. Now, where does the Achuza fit into the picture? Could go either way. Because we undermine Yibum by saying, Kolum yesh Yibum elba makim she'en banim. Then the Achuza gets shifted to the Ben side. And that's why you have two on that side. And bottom line says the Gemara, that's why when I'm darshaning vavodcha sheishanim lecha v'loy le blank, it's lecha v'loy le yorish, meaning not to the daughter, not to the brother, only to the son. So that's how we started off this braisa. Tana rabban eved ivri oved es haben, v'ni oved es habas, and not the ach, and not any other yorish. Now let's go to amivriya. Amivriya in avedes le es haben v'loy es habas. If the Odin passed away, the Amavriya goes free. Mino and Emilia, how do I know? Amr apada Amakra, the Afla Moscha Tasekain. Now, where is this Pasik, the Afla Moscha Tasekain? If you have Oizdalid of the Torah or Ashalim, it says, Lokachtes Amar Tseya, you take the drill, Venesatvi Ozin Vadeles, and you drill a hole in the Oizin and Delis, Voyelucha Evid Oilam, and then the Evid Ivri will stay for you forever, meaning until now, on the surface, the Avla Moscha Tasekain sounds like she too, you take the drill and you drill a hole in her ear, and then she can stay until Yoivel. However, you'll recall that we learned previously, and the Gemara is going to quote once again, that I have two psukim to tell us that Din of Ritzia only applies to an Eved Ivri and not to an Ama Ivriya. One drasha was, it says, Menasatim Oznoi, Darshan Zikmar Oznoi Voloi Ozna. And then there was another passage because it says that if the Eved says, Vim Omar Yoimar Ho Eved, or Haftius Adonius Ishti Vezbonai. So they said, why did it say, Hu Eved? Hu Eved Voloi Ho Omar, that this din of Ritzia, that he wants to stay until the Oival year, only applies to an Eved and not to an Omar. So what does this Vavla Moscha Tasekain come to tell us? It says Yomar Kisha Kosel Nirtza. Ma Nirtza Eni Oyvloi Zaben Vloi Es Habas. Just like by a Nirtza, there is no Avoida after the Misas Ho'odoin. Afa Mavriya Eni Avedes Loi Zaben Vloi Zabas. No Avoida after the Misas Ho'odoin. So if an Odoin has both an Eved Ivri and an Oma Ivriya, and the Odoin dies, the Eved Ivri stays with the sons to complete his 6 years of slavery. The Amavriya goes out automatically on the spot. That's where the Matzah Tasi King comes to tell you the Hekish to the Nirza, the Gabid Halacha of Misas Ha'odoin. Hami boyle, we need it for that din of Hanukkah. The Kinesan, you have for the Matzah Tasi King, Lahanik, that she also gets Hanukkah when she leaves after 6 years or after Simonim, etc. Maybe if Afla Moschatasi came means you bore a hole. Kishu Oimavim Omer Yoimara Evid O Evid Veloy Omivriya. That was one of the two drushes. The other drush was Oznoi Veloy Ozna. Haritziya Omer. So it says already clearly Ritziya only applies to the Evid, not to the Omer. Homani Mekaim Afla Moschatasi came Lehaanik. Oh, so I see Afla Moschatasi came is talking about Hanaka. So how are you learning it, Legabi the Din of Yitziya? The misas ha'odoin says he wanted king nichtav kra la moscha kein. It could have said in the pasuk the af la moscha kein. Why did it say af la moscha tasa kein? Shabbos minotar. You learn both halachas, both halacha of hanaka, and also that she goes out free. The misas ha'odoin. Now the nirtza and the nimkalev yichum any oivel esbeim leizabas. Now it's interesting. The Gemara has told us that an umma goes out free. The Misas Odoin. How do I know it? I know it from the case of Nirtza. But I don't know the case of Nirtza yet. How do I know that a Nirtza goes free the Misas Odoin? That's our Gemara now. Nirtza, the Chassidus said in the Pasuk, V'rotza Odoin of Es Ozne B'Martzeya, V'Avodoi Li'Oila. V'Avodoi means, and he serves the Odoin. V'rotza Odoinov, the Odoin makes the hole in the ear. V'Avodoi, and the Evan now will serve him, Li'Oilam, until Yovel. So I darshan avodoi, believes him and believes him. So that's how I know the din of Nirtza. And now with the hekish of the Afla Moschatas again, we extend it now also to Omivriya. What about Nimkal Vichovim Minayin? How do you know there too? He only has to go and serve the original Odoin and not the son. Amachiski Amakra, the Chishav Im Koineil. That's talking about that if you want to be Poide, you want to redeem the Jew that has been sold to a goy as an eved. So it says, "V'chishavim koneyu mishnasi mochra lo yachnasi yovel." Figure out how many years you have left until yovel year, and then divide it up by the amount of money. There are 10 years left to yovel. You paid $1,000, $100 a year. You amortize it. V'yakesimim kare kimispashonim kimeisacher ye im. I figure it out based on an amortization table. Aha. So there should be more of the chichav im koinehu. Im koinehu means his purchaser, the one that purchased the eved. That was the odoin. Veloyim yorshe koinehu, but not the children. So that's how we know that the same halacha applies to nimka li avgicham. Fine. Now we start a new shtickle. Omer Rav. Rav is now focusing on Hilchos Yerusha generally. There are rules of Yerusha which apply to the Goyim. If a Goy dies and he leaves children, the children have a right to go and Yarshin their father. How do I know? Because of what the drasha that we just learned now. So obviously there are rules of inheritance that apply to Goyim, because otherwise why do I need this drasha? What happens if you have a ger? By definition, it was previously a goy. And his father, the goy, died. And now he left over an estate of $10 million. And the ger wants to go and inherit that estate. Midivrei Torah, he's not entitled to a penny. Because a ger is kikotin shenoy ledami, a brand new being. He was not born to his goyish father. However, midrabanan, yes, the ger gets a share of the inheritance. You had a goy. The goy has two sons. One son is a goy, and the other son converted and became a ger. What's the din? They both yoydish. The goy and the ger, they yash. Now, before they actually take possession of their respective 50% of the estate, ger yochalei melevi kachom. The ger can say to the goy, "Toil at avodis kachom. You know that our father left over a whole bunch of getchkelach, a whole bunch of statues, a whole bunch of tzelems. You take those, vani mois, and I'll take their value in cash. Toilat the yayin esach. There are a whole bunch of barrels there in the wine cellar. They're all yayin esach. They're all yours. Vani peiros. Instead, I'm going to go and take tvua or fruit. In other words, the monetary equivalent. That's only prior to the division. In other words, they're dividing up the estate. They can make up those types of stipulations. However, mishibol rishus ger, if they already split it, and then the ger says, oy, 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 I see in my 50%, I have a whole bunch of barrels of yayin esach, or I have a whole bunch of avodah zarah, at this point it's also, you can no longer do this form of exchange, because then you're having hanoah from iser hanoah. You now have hanoah from avodah zarah, from yayin esach, and now if you're going to go and make this exchange, you're having hanoah. You're getting the monetary value, the monetary equivalent. That's what it says in the price. Zokimar, bisol gadai to the araisa. If you're going to tell me Yerusha helps Minatoira, kilei bolish you say nami, ki shakel chiluf, everybody's kacham hudika shakel. Even before they divide it up, as soon as the father passed away, automatically each one gets a right to 50% of the Yerusha. And since it's an undivided right, so each one of them owns 50% of all of the Avodah Zarah and all of the Yayin Nesach and all of the Chazer and all the other whatever Chazerai that the father left behind. So Ibazoi, how can you go now and make a switch with the Goy and say, you take this and I'll take that? You're having Hanoah from the Khalifa Yavodah Chum from doing this Khalipin. Zertimora, El is the Chasim and the Minatoyer, the Ger is not entitled to anything. It's Midrabanon. Why Midrabanon? Did Rabbanon say that a ger gets a portion of his father's estate? It's very, very simple. It's human nature. The father was a multimillionaire. He left over an estate of $50 million. Now the ger and the goy come together to probate court. Each one wants to get 25%. Each one wants to get 50%. And then the bezin would say, ger, sorry, because you converted, you get nothing. And your brother, the goy, gets everything. So what might a person who has a weak human nature say? I gave away $25 million for religion? Forget about the religion. I'll take the money. And Chas V'Shalom, he might be choizel l'surah. We don't want to incentivize him, Chas V'Shalom, to be choizel l'surah. And therefore we tell him, no, no, no. Midrabanan, you're entitled to get 50%. Tanya Mihochi. I'll bring another raya, b'medvar mamurim, when do we say that they get 50-50? Kishi yarsh. Ava kishi nishtat. For what happens if they two happen to be shutfim, a goy with a yid, and in their shutfis they have avodah zarah and yayin esach and the rest, then it's also, then you can't. Because he owns it already. That's a raya that the din of Yerusha midrabanan. Because when it comes to shutfis, that's the raya, if it belongs to me and you, because we're shutfim, then I certainly can't do the chalipin of the yayin esach or the avodah zarah for money. Zok di Gemara. What happens now? Oivik chomes eger, v'ger es eger. What happens if you have an oivik chomes eger? In other words, a ger passed away, leaving no children, and the father who is the goy wants to yarsh in his son the ger, or v'ger es eger. Or what happens if you have a ger who does have a son who's also a ger, meaning that the father and son went into Bezdin, and they were both Megayer. So now each one is Kikot and Shinoi Ladami. Each one is, they're not related to each other. Of course, biologically, they're related. But religiously, halachically, they're not related. So what's the thing? Ger is a ger. Ain limited to the suffering. You don't get anything. Zero. Gornish. When the father passes away, the son doesn't get anything. Didn't happen like we learned in the Mishnah. What happens if you borrowed money from a ger, whose children also were megayer with him? In other words, not that it was a ger, and the children were born later. A ger and his son both became ger, and you borrowed money from the ger. And Nebuch, now the father passed away. You do not have any requirement to return the funds to the son, because the son is not a yoirish from his father. Ger is a ger. Einoi. Lemid debritur. Lemid debrisaf. No din of Yerusha. Vim hechsi. What happens if the person wants to be a boy scout? And he says, I know I'm not required, but I'm going to give the son anyway. Ein Ruach Chacham Neichemenu. Now, when we say Ein Ruach Chacham Neichemenu, often that means that it's a criticism, and the Chacham are upset about the fact that you paid the Ger's son. But Rashi clarifies, we don't mean that the Chacham are upset. There's nothing to be upset about. This guy is a Boy Scout, he's a nice guy. Says Rashi, Ein Machzikin Loi Toiva. He does not get Shlishi or Shishi that Shabbos. We don't give him a special award for being a Boy Scout, but he's not criticized either. Okay, he did what he wanted to do. He's a tight, fine. We don't criticize him, but we don't applaud him either. Frankimor Vatani, but we have another Braisa. On the side it says Vatanan. Ruach Chacham Noichemenu. The Chacham are applauding. They said it's a good thing that he gave the money back to the son of the Ger. Tumon Lekasha. Kanshi Rasoi B'Lei Doshu B'Lei B'Kedusha. The Kanshi Rasoi. And Shaloi B'Kedusha B'Lei Doshu B'Kedusha. What does that mean? We have over here a father and a son that both became Ger. Now, we are not talking about a case of a Ger that got married after he was a Ger and then had children. Because then that child is Hayrosoi V'Lei Doshu B'Kedusha. That child is no longer a Ger. That child is a full-fledged born Jew, because he was born to a Ger. Even if the mother was a Geoiris, he is a Jew. Here we're talking, however, that the father and the son jointly went, and they were Megayer. So, in one case, that means that this son was born to a Goyisha father and a Goyisha mother, and now he is a full-fledged Goy, and he was Megayer. In that case, you have no requirement to go and give the money to the son. However, when the father, who was a goy, lived together with the wife, who was a goyta, at that time he was taka goy and she was a goyta. But guess what? After that they were all megayer, and the wife, when she was pregnant, she was megayeres. So therefore, when he was born, he was already born as a Jew. However, the original impregnation was as a goy. So therefore, he's much closer to a born Jew than if he was a rosei, the leidosei, shaloi b'kedusha. And that's why in this case, ruach hachomim noichemenu, says Rashi, the reason is, because I'm afraid, mechlef b'Yisrael gomor, in the eyes and in the minds of many people, after this ger and geoidus amegayer, and then a few months later they have a baby boy and everybody comes for the bris, everybody assumes that this is not a case of a ger, but that this child happens to be a full-fledged Jew. That's what people think. And then after that, if the father were to pass away, or if the father was entitled to receive money and then he passed away, whatever. So we would say that the son doesn't get. Well, why shouldn't the son get? The son, that's the son of the father, and they were both, you know, he was born to the father after the father was Megayer. Oh, that's true. But it was Hayrasa Shaloi B'Kedusha. So because of this potential Mechlef B'Yisrael Gomer, this potential confusion, that's why the Chum say, even though Mitzat Ikaradin, you do not have to go and give this son of the Ger any money. You don't have to pay back the loan. You don't have to give him Yerusha. But if it's Hayrasa Shaloi B'Kedusha, V'Leidosei B'Kedusha, because he's Mechlef B'Yisrael Gamor, say the Chum, then, although you don't have a requirement, but if you do pay, Ruach Chachomim Noicha Heimenu. And then with this we conclude today. Mi'etchim, to be continued tomorrow, Rabbi Yisai. Have a wonderful day. Thank you all for listening.